Anyway, do you have your Bibles with you today? If you're with us, we want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. We're going to continue on with our series on joy. Amen. I see Joy sitting over there. Good morning, Joy. So she's here. So it's got to be a good service if Joy is in the house. Praise the Lord. So joy of the Lord. The topic is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. We talk about our title of our message is Laughter is Good Medicine. Laughter is good medicine. So let's go to the text. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Whom having not seen, you love. And whom though you now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want you to notice it says that believing you rejoice. Everybody say that. Believing you rejoice. That means when you believe something, you're going to start rejoicing. If you believe something, if you really believe something, you get happy about it. Amen. If something's going to happen, if you anticipate something's going to happen, you get some kind of a welling up on the inside of you because your mind is out thinking about it and you're anticipating something good is about to happen. You're going to start rejoicing. And so that's what he's talking about. Even though Peter's writing to people like you and I that have never met Jesus physically, we didn't see him in the natural, but we believe in Jesus. Right? And we never saw him die on the cross, but we believe he did. The Bible said he went down to the lower regions for us. We believe he did. We didn't see anything. We didn't see a video of that. But we believe it. Amen? So we believe it. So you can believe something you can't see. That's what believing is about. It's about believing something you can't feel or touch or taste and smell and so on. But you believe it because the Word of God tells you. And so One Bible version of that last verse 8 says, receiving the end of your faith. It says, one version says, receiving the harvest of your faith. Receiving the harvest of your faith. That's verse 8, receiving the end of your faith or receiving the harvest of your faith. How many people know that faith brings the harvest in? Amen. And sometimes you might have to do something before anything happens in the natural. So the message we want to get across to you this morning is while you're rejoicing at His Word, God is doing something because of your faith. While you're rejoicing at His Word, God is doing something because of your faith. As an introduction, we want to say in these last few months, during this pandemic, it's been difficult to smile about anything. It's been difficult to smile about whatever, anything that's going around the world. There's been a lot of death across the world, everywhere. Every nation has seen death. Sickness, disease, pain, financial difficulties, family disruptions, closures, and many other sorts of things that can prevent you or all of us from being happy. In fact, we could be living in constant depression if you continually watch. You know, my wife and I, we don't watch the news a whole lot. We watch when we need to watch it to find out what's going on. So I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the news because it's all negative anyway. And you need to find out what you need to find out. Like, you know, whether you can travel or whether you need to protect yourself or find out different things. So don't be watching news constantly because, you know, pretty soon you'll get yourself into some kind of frenzy and end up being very sick mentally. So our lifestyles, our natural lifestyles have been thoroughly hampered and very interrupted from living a normal natural life. You can hardly do anything naturally today. You can hardly live in a way that you're used to live. I think life is going to be changed forever, somebody said. I believe that life is always changing. We're not always going to be the same. Life is always in a constant flux. We're always changing. Even your physical body is changing right now. Some of you are getting browner as you're in the sun. You're getting older as you sit here. Some of you are losing hair and so on. I mean, you know, I hope I don't lose any more hair. But, you know, There's always change going on. Your body is changing all the time. The medical people tell us that your body is always in a move of some kind of something's happening in your body, and whatever genes are going on there in your body, or whatever. You know, our lifestyle has been changed and hampered. So, but Jesus said something that really gives us an eye opener. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you," John 16:33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." It's important that we find ourselves being in Christ by being born again, and also being in constant reminder of who we are in Christ, what we have and what we can do. He says, "In this world you shall have tribulation." There's not going to be a time in your life where you'll never have any trouble. There's not going to be a time in your life where you'll never go through a trial or difficulty. Jesus said it himself, you'll have tribulations, or the word tribulations is the word difficulties, trials, oppositions, hard times. But he says, in this world you'll have what? Tribulation. And then he said something along with it. He says, but be of good cheer. Come on, let me hear what good cheer sounds like. Come on. Yes, sir. That's what good cheer sounds like. He says, he didn't say it, but be very careful and be very, very sad and depressed. No, he says, but even though we have tribulations and trials, Jesus tells us to be of good cheer. And he says, I have overcome the world because Jesus' work on the cross, Jesus' work on, you know, his death and burial, resurrection, Jesus got us something. He brought us something. He got us to a place where we can be blessed like we are right now. How many people are blessed this morning? Say amen. Amen. So we're talking about joy this morning. And Jesus is talking about joy when he says, be of good cheer. He's telling us to be joyful, even though you're in a trial. What is joy? There is a joy in the Spirit. And it's easy to laugh when the joy in the Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit moves in the body of Christ, and you get a little woozy and a little ticklish and you laugh. How many people have been there before? You just felt the Holy Ghost, you start laughing, ha 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 ha, and there's no reason to laugh, but you're laughing. But there's also joy in faith. There's joy in the Word. When you're having a hard time and you have to smile, even though things are not going well for you, but because you believe, you're smiling by faith. But you don't have to wait for some kind of spiritual feeling to get happy. You can rejoice anytime you want. You can even do it right now. That's right. You know, the word joy, the noun joy from the you know, any dictionary will tell you it's a great emotion of delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or something great. It's the expression or display. Joy is a display of a glad feeling. That's why when I tell you, if you think about something good in the Word, you're going to have some emotion of happiness when you start thinking about the Word. So the more you think about the Word, the happier you become. So it's the expression or display of a glad feeling. So you don't have to wait for your emotions to erupt to start rejoicing. You can start thinking about something good in the Word. And as you think about something in the Word, then you can start rejoicing in it. How many people can start thinking about something good in the Word that you can be happy about this morning? Another version says it's a state of happiness. Somebody say you can't be happy all the time. Well, I guess you can't always feel happy all the time, because then you'd be crazy. I guess people would say you're crazy, but I saw a little sign that says, you know, something about that. I'll have to read it to you another time, you know, about being happy. You can be joyful, you know, in the Word. So you don't have to wait for an emotional experience to be joyful, but you can actually believe the Bible and rejoice. You don't have to wait, I said, for something as a believer to wait for an act of God. But you can act like God is moving, like the Bible is true. If you believe the Bible to be true, as far as concerning the promises of God as a child of God, you can rejoice or act like it's true. Martin Luther, you know Martin Luther, he started a rebellion, and he was from the Catholic Church, and he was a priest, and he found out about faith, about believing by faith in Jesus, not by works, that you're saved. He said, your heart overflows with gladness when the Holy Spirit is active in your life and joy comes alive in you. He said, you'll have as much joy in life as you have faith. That's pretty good for a Lutheran. You know, we need to take some lessons from the Lutherans, as faith people. You can have as much joy as you have faith. He also said, I often laugh at Satan. There's nothing that makes him more angry when I tell him that I'm more than a match against him because I am in Christ. You know, if you're in Christ, you can match up against him because you're not fighting your battles. God is fighting for you. So, sometimes you have to faith it. Sometimes in life you'll have to faith it because, like the Lord said in His Word, we'll have tests and trials, but we'll have to rejoice because He had overcome the world. John 16:31 says that. Faith it, not fake it. You'll rejoice because you believe Jesus and that the Bible is true. James 1:2 says this, count it all joy, or consider it joyful. That is during a negative situation. What do you take from James chapter 1, verse 2 anyway, when you think about it? Consider it joy, count it all joy. He's not saying that you're a sadistic person in the sense that you enjoy being in pain or in trial. No, he says, consider it joyful when you come up against trials because knowing this, knowing what? It's knowing something is going to happen, knowing that your faith is going to carry you through the difficulty and that you're going to lack nothing. That's why he says, consider it joyful, because he's anticipating something changes are coming because he's rejoicing in the Lord. Consider it joyful. Look to your neighbor and say, consider it joyful. Look to your other neighbor and say, this is your opportunity. Sometimes you'll have to turn up your joy. You know, I've been turning up my thermometer, what do you call that? Thermostat. But you have to understand, I think in Ojibwe. And I have a different kind of thought system. You ever think like that? But anyway, you have to turn up your thermostat to a cooler. So you have to turn up your joy by faith in the midst of trying times. It's like James says. For in doing so, God does something because your faith moves God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So you need to do something by faith. Show the devil your teeth. Hey? He comes around your house, show him your teeth. I mean, he gets scared of me. I take my teeth off and he gets scared of me. If you don't have any teeth, show him your gums. Somebody says, is that your real teeth? I said, sure is mine. We paid for every one of them. They're my teeth. Thank God. I mean, if you had to leave everything outside the door, you come in here, come in pure, some of you would be half empty. Your ears would be back there, your eyeball back there, your glasses back there. You know, your whole system, part of you is out there. You're artificially intelligent. No, we have real intelligence around here. Okay, none of that. We're trying to be joyful. You can't be joyful thinking about missing parts. So the first thing about joy is that when you practice joy, it'll change something in you. It'll change your countenance. It'll change your presence, your display. Proverbs says, a joyful heart brightens up one's face. Proverbs 15 and 13 in the Common English Bible says. So if you're joyful, if you're thinking about God all the time and His promises, you're going to go around smiling. And people wonder, what's wrong with you? You say, well, that guy's up to something. Why? He's always smiling. I don't get it. That's what one lady told Smith Wigglesworth. He was a plumber, and he goes to the houses back. And then he's called Apostle of Faith. But he's always had a smile on him. They ask him, why do you got that smile? He said, let me tell you about it. And he goes on to tell them about Jesus. So the first thing to do, if you're going to practice joy, you're going to change. There's something about you that's going to change. Your face is going to change. You're not going to have a long face. I heard a story about a young boy. He says, Daddy, why? The preacher said, why do those guys have long faces in church? So, anyway. But as the service goes longer, the longer the face. But when the benediction comes, there's an eruption of joy. I said, this is my last scripture. But you know, you have to tell yourself that you're not going to be depressed because Jesus took away all your infirmities and all your weaknesses. So the Bible says in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, King James, it says, weeping has an expiration date. You know, you got things in your fridge, refrigerator, it has an expiration date. I went to the fridge yesterday and went in there and got some yogurt. I asked Hannah, is this okay? He said, check on the top. So I had a few more extra days. I was able to eat it last night. So something's going on right now. I'll tell you something. Pray for me. So it says, the Bible says that you can only be sad for one night. One night only. God will allow you to be weepy and to cry only for one night. He says, for anger endured but for a moment, that's talking about God, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you get up this morning, you ought to say, woohoo! It's another day. Amen? His mercies are new every day. So is His joy. His joy is also new every day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Wow. So this morning, yeah, you had some hard times last time. You made some mistakes, but hey, you can make more today if you make some more. His mercies are new every day. Because, you know, we fail in many ways. So when the sun comes up, you need to start rejoicing, start laughing. Laugh at the devil. Because if you practice it, you'll perfect this thing. Okay? Anything you practice, you become better at it. And you'll see more results as you practice that. This joy. The more results, the more you practice it. The more you see things happening, the more you'll do it. Most people don't believe in practicing being joyful, especially during the hard times. The Bible says that even God laughs at His enemies in Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, verse 4 says, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Bible says that God laughs at His enemies. Because He knows it's only for a short time. And so you and I need to laugh at our enemies. Laugh at your problem. ha ha ha. Come on, practice it. Ha 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 ha. Say ha 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 ha. Make some kind of noise. Say, well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you to do it by faith. Come on, let's hear this. People over here say, ha 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 ha. See, they got it right away. But Max, he's behind there, so she makes everybody laugh. You guys better laugh. No, we've learned something. So, in the presence of God, the Bible says there is joyfulness in the presence of God. You can't be in the presence of Jesus and not be joyful. So the Lord is in this house. He's inside you even. So, over here in Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The more you practice the presence of God, the more joyful you become, the more cognizant, the more aware you are of God living inside you, the more you'll get happy. Laughter is good medicine. Medical science has discovered laughter is good medicine. The practice of laughter has healing properties. And it's good medicine. The Bible says that Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. So the more you're happy, the more your body will begin, you know, if you understand this properly, the more you'll begin. Now notice this. Medical science knows, or scientists, they know that laughter sends endorphins throughout your entire bloodstream, your entire being. It sends healing ability to your body. Happy people heal more quicker, they say, than someone who stays depressed or down and out and looks at only their disease. At MD Anderson in the United States, they have instituted what they call laughing classes. They have medical staff lead the patients through laughing throughout, even if they had really really bad illnesses, death and life matters. And so they discovered that if you can laugh, you can extend your life, that your body will heal itself. No, this is science. This is not something that somebody teaching the Bible. They're finding this out. Like I told you, when I was at the college, one day after I was teaching my class, I come out during my break, and I was looking down, and I saw a whole pile of people entering a circle. I mean, dozens of people in the circle. I saw one person leading it, and they were teaching people to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And they call it laughing yoga or something like that. They call it laughing yoga. So everybody says, ha, 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 ha. Come, say, ha, 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 ha. Well, one more time, come on. Ha, 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 ha. Say, ha, 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 ha.
Ha,
say, ha, 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 ha. Say, ha, ha. They say that laughing is contagious. So I'm walking down the hall, and all these people are laughing. I say, what's going on? Why are they all laughing? I don't know. Then we start laughing. And they're grabbing their stomach. Everybody lift their stomach. They say, grab your stomach, start laughing. And so it does something in your system. You feel a whole lot better after a laugh. So they discovered the body will heal faster. When you laugh, when the patients laugh, they seem to get better real quicker. So when you're laughing, when you're laughing, you practice laughing. Sometimes if you're a joyful person, somebody can say, what's wrong with you? Because you're smiling and laughing all the time. What's wrong with that person? What's wrong? What do you mean, what's wrong? They're always laughing. Well, when somebody asks you the same thing, they say, why are you laughing? So your response should be, I'm on medication. Then you have to tell them, I'm about to take another dose anytime. I might just erupt anytime. Say, why are you laughing? That's a good one. You know, you need to tell people those things. I remember hearing a story about, Keith Butler. You know, he's one of the bishops, really great, you know, wonderful Ray McGrath. He has a great church there in Detroit. He said he went to his doctor one time. His doctor told him, you need at least 10 good belly laughs a day. Just go ahead and laugh. And just make yourself laugh. Find something to laugh. I know at times when I was going through hard times, I went and bought some Marx Brothers old videos. And I would play these videos and watch these videos. Good, clean fun. Laugh. The silly things. You know, maybe for some people it's not that funny. But for me, I found it funny. So laugh at silly things. And so, how many people like any jokes? How many people like having a good joke? Okay, look at this. Let's tell some jokes. I was told we Native people have a sense of humor. And often I'm told by some of my viewers, when I meet people all over the city, when I go, you ask my wife, I will meet somebody, they'll always tell me, you know, I love your sense of humor. I love it that you make people laugh and that you're very silly, you're funny. And so a lot of times I don't mean to be funny. Sometimes I've learned to be this way. Now, sometimes my humor can take on some of a funny side to it, strange side, I would say, but maybe people don't laugh at it because sometimes about Ojibwe people, we have a sense of humor that's almost sick. And so you have to be careful because people take you the wrong way. I remember my uncles and aunts, they'd all talk about different things. They even talk about body parts that I was like, what is going on? But to them, it wasn't, you know, dirty or anything like that. It was just funny. But in another culture, it's twisted over their culture, it can become offensive. So you have to watch yourself at some time. So I'm trying to really be careful at times. So I was told some of my viewers to tell me that I'm funny. So I've learned to make laughter a big part of my life personally. In fact, if I want to go for a good laugh and go visit my cousin Ed and his wife, we just talk about different things. We laugh about different things. I find things to laugh about in life, whether they've been a serious matter or a very hard time that I went through. I find something to laugh about. Even with my brother, I went to visit my brother when he's going through the cancer treatment and all the stuff that he went through. I found that I was making him laugh. And he didn't feel like laughing, but I was telling jokes and laughing and different things. I was at Abe Kakapidam's, when he was passing away, people just laughing, you know, he was passing, but they were laughing. They said, what are you guys laughing about? Well, we could cry. You can't cry anymore. So we found something to laugh about. So even in situations that are serious, with all the difficulties that I've had to endure in my life, I found I had to laugh my way through every situation. Even before I was a believer in Jesus, even before I was a Christian, I practiced laughter as a part of my lifestyle. So these jokes I've heard, I heard these at Rhema. Sometimes I listen to Mark Hankins, I write different things down. At camp meeting, and his messages and his meetings were very delightful for me because they're both spiritually funny and then naturally funny. And he's so funny as a person. So also, I listen to a man by the name of Mac Hammond. He has a church over here, Living Word in Minneapolis. And he always tells jokes. Like, you know, a funny joke. They're really silly jokes about Adam and Eve or, you know, different things about his wife. And He always tells jokes in his preaching on a weekly basis. And so Joel Osteen never starts a meeting without telling a joke. So he puts it in his sermons. He makes it funny so that it's easier to take a, you know, preaching. I find that if you're funnier, people can take something serious as a teaching and take it all in easier. So let's go. Even Brother Hagin over the years, I don't know if you understand this, Brother Hagin always found something funny about telling something funny, right? He always told jokes. Okay, so did you ever hear about the man who bought his mother-in-law a cemetery plot? No one hasn't heard that. So the mother-in-law asked the son-in-law, how come you didn't get me any gift this year? And he said, his reply was, you didn't use it, the last one I gave you. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a morbid joke, but it actually works. Okay, so did you about hear about a man who brought his mother? How about the man who was addicted to drinking brake fluid? Did you ever hear about that man? Anybody hear about him? When he asked about his unusual addiction, he said, I can stop any time. That's a funny one. Why are you drinking brake fluid? Stop it. Okay. What about the butcher who took his wife around and introduced her to people at the party? He says, meet Patty. You know, Patty was a little plump. So, well, her name was Patricia. Okay, but... What about the pastor who took his wife to the doctor, or he accompanied her to the doctor, and he complained, told the doctor, she snores a lot. Well, the doctor said, well, does it bother you? And he says, no, but my church does. You like that one, eh? So, you know, sometimes, you know, in life when you're a Christian, you know, when God blesses you, sometimes things seem so unreal, they can't be true. And so it almost seems unbelievable sometimes when God moves in your life, great things happen to us, God, when God performs something. It's incredible at times to explain to other people, almost too sacred to explain sometimes when God does something wonderful in your life. Like the Jewish people or the Israelites over here in Psalm 126 verse 1, it says this, it seems too good to be true, it's like a dream come true. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, that's the Israelites, and we're called the Zion of Israel in the New Testament, we were like them that dream. In other words, there's some times in life when you're going through life and God comes along and does something, it's like you can't even accept it almost. Your humanness can't accept it, that God did something for you. He says, when the Lord turned again to captivity. You know, if you've been hung up and you're captivated by something in life and you're set free, it's almost like a dream come true. If you had cancer and God set you free in a moment of time, all the pain's gone, all the symptoms are gone, it's joyful. You want to laugh. You want to smile. Then it says in verse 2, then our mouth was filled with laughter. That's the result. And our tongue with singing. Then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3 says, the Lord had done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. Has God done great things for you? Has he been good to you? So we need to be glad. We need to practice being glad. Amen? So, verse 3 said, the Lord has done great things for us. That's why we're glad. It's easy to laugh when he does good things for us, when he pours out his spirit upon us, and when you start laughing, we become happy. But sometimes, like the apostle James says, you have to do this by faith. Sometimes you can't just wait around and let something happen while you're going weaker and weaker while you're going down, down, down. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He says in there, James 1 and 2 says, count it all joy when you come up against different trials. You know, the Holy Spirit will have you laugh at things sometimes at an unusual time. There's no reason for you to laugh, but you're laughing in the Spirit. In His presence is fullness of joy. That's why it happens that way. Psalm 126 says, it's like a dream when He turns bad things into good. When He turns a captivity into a captive person to experiencing freedom. The Bible says that He did it once, He'll do it again, and again, and again, and again. He's a faithful God. And how many times did He turn your bad situation around so that you can start laughing again. Your mouth will be filled with laughter. And while you're laughing, he's doing something good, even like right now in your life as you're sitting here laughing at a situation that looks critical. God is turning your future into something good. We can start laughing. Practice it. Ha, 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 ha. Come on. Ha, 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 ha. Because you can practice it. You can start practicing. Like Psalms 126 says, our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue with singing. The heathen says, or the people that don't know the Lord, says, the Lord has done great things for them. By faith, we can celebrate. There's an expression that someone said, your celebration is a demonstration of your faith. It's the expression that you believe God for something, that you're believing God is turning the situation around. He's not going to turn it around. He is turning it around while you're laughing. You can say, my God is able. My God is able to make this change. You know, the joy of the Lord is fresh oil. I want some fresh oil. How many people think I need some fresh oil? That fresh oil will bring strength and power to your life. It makes it easier to go through trials and suffering when you're with fresh oil. There is the joy of faith, which we all must practice. And other times there's the joy of the Lord. It's just instantly. Like on the day of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues, the 120, they seemed to be drunk and too happy to be happy at 9 o'clock in the morning. Some thought they were drinking new wine. So Peter had to explain to them in Acts chapter 2, 12 to 8, from the prophecy that was taken from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, he said, this is from Joel chapter 20. What you're seeing here is the fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 12 says, they were all amazed. Acts chapter 2. And were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Some of your kids that are out there doing the stuff that the rest of the world is doing. You can rely on the scripture that your son and daughter is going to prophesy, and your son and daughter is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get that scripture, keep that scripture, and begin to believe it. He said, on my servants, verse 18, I'll pour up my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. What about the joy of the Lord? Let's not ever forget the joy of the Lord. Yes, we love the teaching ministry. We love the teaching about righteousness. We love teaching about having peace in our lives. But what about the joy of the Lord? It says there in Romans 14, 17, Paul mentioned three things. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We need to teach on the joy of the Holy Ghost. I said, we need to teach on the joy of the Holy Ghost. We can't walk around with long faces all the time. Three things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, Paul said. The anointing of God is called the joy, the oil of joy of the Lord. So when the anointing comes, you know, you can just sense that joy coming out. We can be filled again. David said he was filled with fresh oil. Psalm 92, I believe verse 10, he says, I'm filled with fresh oil. Fresh oil. The disciples said in Acts 13, 52, he said about the disciples, they were filled with joy. They were filled with joy back then. In the beginning, they kept getting filled all throughout the entire Bible. The Old Testament, they were continually filled. Not just 20 years ago I was filled. You know, one time I got filled 20 years ago. You know, like we talk about long, long, long time ago. Yeah, when was the time, last time you got filled? Oh, I would say 30 years ago. Well, you need some fresh oil. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some fresh oil. Come on, come on. Say, everybody say, I need some fresh oil. So you know, a lot of you need an oil change. I say, come to church today, get an oil change. Say, where are you going? Your neighbor said, where are you going? So I'm going to get some oil change. Where do you get that? You get that, I'll get that at church. You come home, you know, you're all sweating, all shiny, because you've been running around in the church. Bible says, you know, when someone has fresh oil, they start running. They got new oil in them. They start laughing. Some people start crying when they get fresh oil. You know, they look real ugly. Sometimes you got to get real ugly for the Lord. Eh? You don't look so pretty when you laugh, when you're crying. Even when you laugh. Right? I love it when you get that way. Fall on the floor like you're taking a tantrum. Brother Hagin used to say three things happen when the Holy Ghost shows up. Number one, laughter erupts. Laughter happens. Number two, people can't stand up. And number three, people start laughing. They start dancing everywhere. Eh? We were telling some people there, we're having a meeting about the joy of the Lord, having filled with the Spirit. I said, let's go ahead, let's go ahead and dance in the Spirit. I told people, let's go practice and start dancing in the Spirit. And people start doing like this. I think that was Ernie. Well, you can't believe me. He's trying. It's important. We need to laugh. We need to laugh, have a good belly laugh. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Say, ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Say, the joy of the Lord,
the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Is my strength.
Say, the joy of the Lord,
the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Is my strength.
Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost because He lives in me. Say, I turn the switch of faith on. I just go ahead and laugh in the Spirit. I just go ahead and laugh by faith. Ha, 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 ha. I laugh at my problems. Say, ha, 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 ha. Come on now, say, ha, 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 ha. I'm laughing at the devil. Say, God laughs at the devil. Say, God's children act like Him. So I laugh at the devil. Ha, 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 ha. Say, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Say, Jesus said, get happy. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Lift that hand and begin to bless God. Glory to Jesus.